everyone. You're listening to Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show. My name is Debbie. Thank you for joining me. Today is Tuesday, March 20th, 2012, and I have a great show lined up for you this evening. If you or someone you love is passionate about planning weddings, then you're in the right place. Confetti is here to bring you information and answers to your questions about what it takes to start and run a successful wedding planning company of your own. This show is broadcast live every other Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. To get show updates and much more, please visit the free online resource, weddingsforaliving.com. And there you'll find ideas and inspiration about launching a wedding planning business. That's also the place where you can listen to and download archived episodes of this talk show. For much more detailed wedding business startup help, please visit weddingbusinessguide.com. And on that site, you'll find tutorials, downloadable forms, and access to live teleseminars, and webinars just for wedding planners. And right now for Wedding Business Guide, we're in the midst of our How to Create a Website for Your Wedding Planning Business. So if you need a website and not quite sure where to get started, this is a great reason to join. The fee is very affordable. So please check out weddingbusinessguide.com. Okay, the success of today's show depends on you. So if you have a question or a comment that you'd like to share with us tonight, please feel free to call in live. And the number to call in to is 626-213-5678. And if you're on the show page, which is blogtalkradio.com/confetti, you can use the Skype button that's at the top of the page to call in. Okay? To speak with me or our guest co-host, who I'll introduce in just a moment, simply press the number 1, and that will let me know that you have something to share with us, and we'll bring you on live. You can also type your questions and your comments in the online chat room, and I can see several of you there. You can find the chat room by going to that same show page, blogtalkradio.com/confetti, and scroll all the way down to the bottom of the show page. Okay. In order for you to actively participate in the Confetti chat room, you must have a Blog Talk Radio listener account. And to register for the listener account, just click on the sign up button at the top of the Confetti show page. Okay. If you are based in the United States and you would like to receive a text message when a live show is about to begin, you can be a part of the Confetti Text Club. I don't know if that name's going to stick there. Simply text the word CONFETTI, C-O-N-F-E-T-T-I, to the number 72727. So just open up your phone, your smartphone, or whatever cell phone you have if you're in the United States, and create a text message. The number you're texting to is 72727, and just type in the word CONFETTI and hit send. Okay? Standard message and data rates may apply if you do that. If you're in the chat room, please post your Facebook URL and you can get some exposure there. Also, please follow the show on blogtalkradio.com/confetti and add your comments on the show page there. All right. If you have a success story to share with regard to the progress you're making in the wedding planning business, please let me know so that I can share with the rest of our great community, because we want to hear when things are going well. And speaking of successes, I want to wish say congratulations to Heather Guthrie, who is lining up a series of bridal workshops. And Heather also has booked business, so she has an upcoming wedding. Someone has signed the dotted line, and she's going to be planning weddings for a fee, and that's always great news. I know that says that doesn't sound like you may be thinking, well, yeah, that's what we're here to do, but there's nothing like getting that feeling when someone believes in what it is that you have to say and to share, and they want you to plan their wedding. So congratulations to Heather. Also, I want to wish good luck to Rebecca and Debs with their A Very Vintage Wedding Fair, which happens in Brisbane, Australia this weekend, March 24th and 25th. A very specialized bridal fair. So you can find out more information about that at averyvintageweddingfair.com. And that's in Brisbane, Australia. Okay, tonight's show is a combo of our Grab Bag Tuesday, where your wedding planning business questions are addressed. But we're also, in addition to Grab Bag Tuesday, we also are fortunate enough to have a guest co-host. And our guest co-host for today's show is Kylie Carlson. Kylie is the director of the Wedding and Event Institute and the Academy Group, who specializes in certified courses for wedding planners, and not just wedding planners, stylists and designers here in the United States, in Australia, in New Zealand, and in the United Kingdom. So a very global organization. And now with over 700 live students worldwide, it's one of the premier training institutions for those who are looking to get into the wedding industry, or for those of you who are looking to add to your existing skill base. Wow, that's pretty comprehensive. So Kylie is here tonight. Kylie, welcome. Thank you for joining
us. Thank you very much. No, it's my pleasure.
Okay, and I'm so happy that Kylie is here. We've been in communication for a while, and I thought, who better than to have on the show tonight? So any questions you have, whether it's with regard to Kylie's wonderful organization, which is Wedding and Event Institute, and you can find out more about the organization at weddingandeventinstitute.com. So questions related to her organization and just also wedding planning questions in general. So Kylie, tell us a little bit about your background and your foray, your journey into the world of professional wedding planning. How did that all get started?
Wow, that's quite a story. I'll keep it brief though. I started quite a while ago back in London. It was where I originated from, as I'm sure some of you can tell by my accent. In London, I started in an industry that didn't really exist. So when I started, there wasn't really a career for either event planners or wedding planners or stylists or designers. And I learned pretty much on the fly through a company, which was a great company at the time, that did a lot of corporate events, but also did bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs and weddings as well. To cut a long story short, the business itself, although the business was good, it wasn't run very well, and they soon found themselves in financial difficulty. And at the tender age of, I was only 23, I decided to take over the reins of the business, and I bought the assets of the company.
Wow.
And I really did learn on the ground, so to speak. There weren't any training courses available. There was nothing. It really was think on your feet and do what you feel you can do as best as you can. And that's pretty much how I learnt. That company was fantastic. I went from strength to strength with that. We carried on with the corporate side. We branched out much more heavily into weddings. I brought in a business partner to take care of the bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs because that was not my speciality. And we also decided to branch out into children's parties as well. So we had the whole of the special event area covered, which was great. And we worked with a lot of big prestigious venues in London, which was also good for us.
Wonderful.
I actually met my husband, who is an Australian, after I'd been running the company for nearly 8 years. And long story short, again, I decided that we were going to move to Australia. It was much easier for him to work by going to Australia. And I had to sell the business. And that I found very hard. It was almost like cutting off my right arm because that business had become pretty much, along with my daughter, what I did every single day, and it was my passion. However, I did it, made the break, and moved over to Australia, where I spent a whole year on Hayman Island as the event operations director. And that allowed me to see things from a very different perspective. As a planner or a stylist or a designer, you're used to going into lots of different venues. You're not stuck in the one venue all the time.
Right.
You're going from venue to venue to venue, and that takes a whole different skill base to actually working within one venue. And, of course, this wasn't just one venue. This was a venue which had a lot of challenges, shall we say, of its own. For example, working on Hayman, we did a lot of beach weddings, and if we were doing a reception, then we had to take into consideration how far the tide was going to come up that evening before we set the tables out. So as you can imagine, there was lots of different challenges that I faced there. But after a year, I decided that I'd had enough of being on an island. It is quite restricting because obviously you live it, you breathe it, you eat it, you sleep it. You are on the island all the time. You can't get away. So I decided that I needed a break. And I took a break, not a very long one, it has to be said, because I got quite bored after about a couple of months of sitting around doing nothing. So I started looking at what I wanted to do next. And that's when I realized that I really couldn't go back into the event industry working for my own company because it would take me a hell of a long time to go through setting it all up again because I was in a different country.
Right.
When I was in the UK, I had a large database of suppliers and vendors that I've worked with for a long, long time, built up very solid relationships with. And it would mean starting over again if I was to start another company in Australia. And I just wasn't sure that I really wanted to go down that path. But at the same time, I didn't want to leave the event industry.
Right.
So I decided to look for other avenues. And that's when I started doing some research on what was available from an educational standpoint. And there was very little available at all. There was only a couple of other companies that were doing, well, it was more sort of event management courses than weddings. And then I suddenly realized there was my next path. That's what I needed to do next. So I took on this humongous task of taking all the pieces of information that have been floating around my head for the last however many years and trying to put them down on paper so that they actually made some sort of sense. And that's how our very first course was born, and it was a certificate in wedding planning. And from there, obviously, we've grown, we've expanded. Our very first virtual campus came on board a few years later. We did other courses. We've now got event design, wedding planning, styling and design. We've got lots of different courses. It's now expanded to 6 different courses. But obviously, this has taken a long time to build up. We've gone from Australia over to the UK, and last year we launched in New Zealand, and now also we've come to the United States. We're in the middle of launching that program at the moment, and it's been received extremely well. All the courses are basically worked for each country. So we do make sure that they are relevant to each country. We're not giving you links to things that are in Australia or in the UK.
Okay.
Everything is done so it's relevant to that particular country. And that is pretty much us in a nutshell. That's a potted history.
Wonderful. So it was just, you know, it's amazing how sometimes how things work out for us. And I go through this many times and I share it with others that sometimes you're not quite sure and sometimes you just have to sort of wait for it to come. And it doesn't always happen when you're actively trying to figure out what it is. You sort of just almost have to be still for a while. And then it's and it's like, oh, wait a second, this is it. And that works for, here I go again. You know, I got to do it every show, whether it's a specialty for your wedding business or for you, it was sort of like an itch and you knew something was there, but you just weren't quite sure what it was. So
absolutely. It was like a light bulb moment almost when you suddenly realized that's what it is I need to do. And you didn't even realize that's what you needed to do until it hit you. So yeah, that does happen a lot. That's not just for people like me, but for everybody in business.
So tell us what's different about the Wedding and Event Institute with regards to people who are looking for certification and guidance with their wedding planning business compared to what is already in existence, what's in place. What might draw somebody to your organization?
I think one of the biggest differences is we don't do anything face to face. Now, a lot of people would see that as a negative, but we tend to find that because you've got such a time poor community in this day and age, people want everything yesterday, but they haven't got the time to be able to expend on it. So we decided all those years back when we started in Australia that because Australia was so big, it was too hard to do face-to-face and we were going to do virtual only. And that takes a whole different set of skills.
Right.
It's not the same as teaching face-to-face. When you teach face-to-face, you can use so many more different methods that are easily available to you. But when you start teaching virtually, it's a very different skill base that you have to use. And that was something that really interested us. We worked out that using podcasts and webinars was something that was just as interactive, if done properly, as was going to a face-to-face class. But the beauty of it was that you could switch onto it at any time.
Right.
We realized, however, that probably wasn't enough. We needed to have some kind of interaction between us and the students. So we were really careful in how we selected our tutors, and our tutors and instructors are probably our biggest part of our course because they build a very close relationship with the students. More often than not, students are in contact with their tutors, if not on a daily basis, certainly on a weekly basis, because they have access to them, in some cases via Skype and also via email through our virtual campus, through our social centre. And we've recently built a social centre specifically for our students, which means that students on one course can talk to other students in different countries who are taking the same course. So they are able to brainstorm together, but under a virtual banner. They don't have to be in class at any set time. They can make it work in with what they do. So I would say that's probably one of the biggest differences between us and a lot of other virtual companies as well, is a lot of them are paper-based. And we're not. We are still very interactive in what we do with the tutors, the instructors, the podcasts, the webinars. It's it's a very different way of learning. It's not everybody's cup of tea, but it's what makes us different.
Okay. And what are the
best way to describe it.
Say that again, I'm sorry?
I said that's probably the best way to describe it.
Okay. And how long can someone expect to go through the beginning? If they start today, how long do you think it would take for someone to complete the course?
Okay, well, I can give you some averages because it really does depend on whether or not students are working full-time and how many hours a week they've got to dedicate to it. The quickest we have students go through our courses is usually 6 months. There's a good 20 years. Yeah. Now, okay. It really does depend on how many units are in each course. The smallest course we have is 20 units. But what we try and say to students is what you're doing here, you're starting a business. And that takes a hell of a lot of skill sets. It's not just being good at wedding planning or styling or designing. You're actually also launching a business, which
That's
is
right.
different. And you can't learn that stuff overnight. You've actually got to really understand the fundamentals behind it and make mistakes whilst you're studying. Don't make mistakes once you're launching. The idea of our courses is that, let's say the certificate in wedding planning, for example, you start that course and it takes you through every single aspect of planning a wedding, including presenting to your client, including fact-finding, storytelling, launching your business, doing your marketing plan, doing your business plan. We actually do that with you. You do that as you go through the course.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
Any mistakes, anything that is standing out to any of the instructors or tutors, they'll pick out. So that's where you want to make your mistakes, not once you've actually launched your business where it could actually be quite costly for you. Make those mistakes whilst you're studying, but that takes time.
Right.
You can't do that in a week. You can't do that in a month. You know, you need to be doing your assignments and you need to use the constructive feedback that you get from one assignment and apply it to the next one so you don't keep making the same mistake.
Right.
So that is usually the quickest people will go through. For
okay.
the simple reason, people also have a life.
What's that?
Things get in the way, you know. You go away on holiday. You have weddings to go to, you know. Life does come into it as well. And with all the best will in the world, most people start off, you know, with all the enthusiasm in the world, and then something may happen. They may have to work overtime at work for 2 weeks. You know, anything can happen.
That's right.
And it takes a little bit more time than they originally anticipate. So although it sounds like a long time, in the grand scheme of things, how long does it really research you to start and take you to research and start a business?
That's
it's going
right.
to take you at least 6 months. And that's basically what you're doing here.
And so, that's a very important point, Kylie, because I think for a lot of people, they enjoy planning a wedding, or they've planned their own, or they've planned a friend or family member's wedding, and they sort of jump into that thinking it's just about planning weddings, and it really is so much more. So it's a good thing
Absolutely.
To be passionate about it, but you have to be passionate enough to sort of go through the highs and the lows, because every day is not going to be a great day. Are you willing to stick with it to figure out a business plan, a marketing plan, and figuring out your paper, your forms and your systems and what it is you're going to do when someone calls you, as opposed to someone's contacting me on my website. What do I do now? Now's the time to sort of figure that out before you know, hang out your shingles. So I know for most people that I come across in our industry, we're not really business minded. We're more passionate about the wedding itself. And that makes sense. But if you are transitioning from hobby or enjoyment into a business, then you've got to have those skills in place. Those systems have to be in place. Otherwise, then you're going to wonder, well, I'm not getting any clients, and any prospects aren't coming my way, and I don't know what to do. You know, this bride isn't calling me back. And you really want to have at least some sort of tools in your toolbox to deal with those situations. And I think it's important.
Well,
you're right.
That's right. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, the way I've always looked at it is, if you're going on a car journey and you've not done that journey before, would you consult a map?
Yes.
Yes, of course you'd consult a map. You'd have a route, wouldn't you? And you'd
right.
follow that route in order to complete your journey. Well, starting a business is exactly the same thing.
That's right.
You're starting a journey. And without a route to follow, how are you ever going to get to the end? How are you going to have the desired result?
That's right.
So I think it's hugely important. And it really does show you who is passionate and who's not passionate. The ones where they're looking at maybe just doing it on a whim, you've got to be in it for the long haul
right.
if you're going to go into business. And that's pretty much what you're saying there, is at the end of the day, yes, people have come in it because they love weddings. But you're doing so much more than that. You've got to look at the business side of it. Otherwise, you won't be planning weddings for a living. And it's that simple.
And part of the issue is that there weren't always a lot of resources to help with that angle. There's no shortage of help for what to do, you know, understanding weddings. And I've said it before, you can learn what to do, what happens at a wedding, without taking a course. You really can. The information is there, but to run a business, it's a different ball game. I want to welcome everyone that's here, that have arrived. You're listening to Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show, and my name is Debbie, and I am happy to have Kylie Carlson with us tonight. And Kylie is the director of the Wedding and Event Institute and the Academy Group. And this is the organization that specializes in certified courses for wedding planners, wedding stylists, and designers, and event designers and event planners too. But Confetti's about weddings, so I'm taking the wedding angle.
Exactly.
So if you have any questions for Kylie, please put them in the chat or call in. The number to call in is 626-213-5678, and just hit the number 1 if you have a question, or just continue to listen in. If you have a Facebook fan page, please post the URL in the chat and get some exposure for your wedding business. Okay, today we do have some questions, some general questions that we got before the show, and I'm going to go through a few of those. But again, if you have anything specific that you want to ask Kylie about her organization, weddingandeventinstitute.com, please do so. But we're going to tackle the questions together, since we are both supposedly know-it-alls, and supposedly was for me, Kylie, not for you.
No, that's fine. I'm happy to be lumped under that banner.
Okay. And just want to say hi to Gary, Casual Weddings, and Kim, and Heather Guthrie, and Laura Spice, and I hope I'm saying your name correctly, Laura, and Heather. Heather Guthrie is the person I was telling you about earlier who has the bridal workshops lined up. So pat on the back for Heather going out of her comfort zone, because I don't think doing something like that is comfortable for most of us until we've done several of them. So, Heather, I hope you don't mind me saying so, but, you know, kudos to you. And if anyone else has a success story, I want to hear about it, because this is how we grow. This is how we get those moments, that sort of one thing that someone does. It's like, oh, wait a minute, maybe I should do that. Okay, one of the questions that came in, you guys, you know, I don't profess to know everything, but one of the questions came in a few weeks ago and has to do with Pinterest. I was saying it wrong for the longest time, Kylie. I was saying Pinterest. And then
I did that too. You weren't the only one.
Oh, okay. So it's not Pinterest. It's interest with a P on the front. So Pinterest.
Basically, yes.
Yes. And here's the question. I've been reading a lot about copyright infringement and Pinterest.com. I love Pinterest, but I'm curious what your thoughts are as it pertains to using it in your business, and the chats about copyright infringement revolving around it. So, for those of you who don't know, and, you know, I've seen it, kind of looked at it, haven't really dabbled in it. From what I can see, Pinterest is a photo sharing site, basically, but it's based around collections or theme boards or photo images that you pin onto a board, hence the name Pinterest. And it's basically a way of saying, this is what I find interesting. So the question, the question came from Heather. Heather, you're just on fire today. So the question is, you know, how does this work? How can you get this to work within the wedding planning business industry, and also copyright infringement? Because a lot of times the images that you're using are not your own images. So I'm going to defer to Kylie, who is a big old know-it-all about Pinterest.
So, Kylie, I am but I'm happy to answer the questions, or both of them, because they're two different questions, really. First of all, probably on the copyright side of it is the first one. What happens is when you grab an image online through Pinterest, it actually grabs the URL from which you've taken that image.
Ah.
Now, obviously, that has its advantages, because there is nothing stopping you from removing that URL and putting in your own URL so that it actually has some kind of SEO implications. But that really is a no-no. What you should be doing is leaving the URL in there, because then that credits the source from which you've taken the photo.
I see.
So obviously, you know, when we're looking at things like Google Images and that type of thing, if you're grabbing it, as I say, through Pinterest, but grabbing it online, it will automatically take the URL from which you've grabbed it and put that within the actual image itself. So that, from that standpoint, does then allow you to be giving credit back to the person who's taken, or who you've taken the image from.
Assuming that that person really is the source of the image, though.
That's exactly what I was just about to say. Oh. Yeah, that's exactly right. There's nothing you can really do from that side of it. Now, Pinterest has actually got its own issues around the whole copyright side of things, and it's certainly causing quite a bit of debate out there. There is no hard and fast rule with it at the moment, other than play nicely and you won't get into trouble is my best advice to you, because it is quite gregarious at the moment. There isn't anything that you can do. You can't label your photos other than through the URL. So my advice would be, use some of your own images. So going back to that question when I think somebody else was asking, how can you use Pinterest within your business? Well, let's look at it from the standpoint of being in events, whether it's weddings or any type of events, whether you're a planner or whether you're a designer, it's all about telling a story.
Right.
And pictures, you know, are worth a thousand words. So if you can tell a story with your images and put them up there, that's a great way of showcasing to people what you do. I mean, you could even look at things like transformations. So before and afters, if you've got a venue that you completely transformed for one of your clients, put together a board on Pinterest that shows the before shots, the during shots, and the after shots. It shows what you're capable of, and it's almost like your own online portfolio.
Absolutely.
Another way of using it is to get a bride to collaborate with you. So, for example, if you start a pin board on Pinterest and you put your bride as a collaborator of that board, but only you and her are collaborating, then she can pin things onto the board and you can pin things onto the board, and between you, you can be looking at different images to make sure that you're both singing off the same song sheet. So there's another idea. The only problem with that is you can't make it private yet.
Okay.
I think there's talk about that possibly being made private, but a lot of brides quite like the fact that they can have a more public board that they can show other people.
Now, when you say collaborate, Kylie, I'm sorry to interrupt. I just want to make sure you understand.
No,
collaborate is a term meaning that this person has access to make changes to the board. Is that what you mean when you say?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. So basically, your boards are, you're the only person that can contribute to a board unless you actually give someone else permission to collaborate to that board.
But it's viewable by anybody. Anyone can see it.
Anybody can see it, but only you or whoever you allow can contribute to it.
Got it. Okay. Okay.
So that would be possibly another way of looking at it. Other things you could do is you could make, you can do your own inspiration boards on it as well.
Right.
It might be that you can just take any old topic and show people how creative that you can be. You know, it might be that you decide, for example, Pantone, the colour of the year, Tangerine Tango.
Yeah.
Show people what you would do to incorporate Tangerine Tango within a wedding and do a board on Pinterest. And make sure you follow plenty of other people so that the board actually starts to get out there as well. So
wow.
There's lots of different ways that you can make it work for you, but those are probably some of the best ways within weddings.
Okay. So Gary's saying he just started using Pinterest and he thinks the potential is great. Okay. You know me, guys. You know me and the social media. I know the good things it can do for me, and I will be wonderful and famous, and I will lose pounds and stuff if I just adopt social media, and you know, my life will be happy forever and ever and ever. I you know what it is? There's so many things going on. Here comes the excuse. Wah, wah, wah. There's so many things going on that I don't want to start something that I cannot continue, and I have to make it a priority. And that's all it is. I haven't made it a priority. So, you know, I sit here and I preach like I'm just one of the biggest hypocrites, but I mean, it's just amazing how social media has just spiraled everything, and Pinterest. I keep wanting to say Pinterest. Pinterest is just another avenue to do that. It sounds fabulous, so it would be great to.
It is very good.
Huh?
It is good. I think you made a really good point there as well about time. With things like Pinterest, you've got to dedicate time to them.
Yes.
You need to be visual. You need to visit often. Type scenario. You can't expect to flood Pinterest with 16 different boards and then do nothing for the next year.
What's yeah, often, like Kylie? Anything. What's often? How often is often?
Just make it something you do maybe once a week or once every 10 days.
Oh,
you
consistently
know, it's quite easy to do that. You can spend half an hour doing it. That's it. It's done.
Okay.
But you do have to set aside time for any form of social media, whether it's Pinterest, Twitter, yes. Facebook, you know, LinkedIn, whatever it is that you do, try and make sure that you find a medium that's right for your business and give it enough time. You know, it's not worth doing six different social media things but not doing any of them well. You're better off doing, say, for example, you've got a Facebook fan page where lots of people talk to you, and doing Pinterest because it's a visual thing and linking the two together and really making them work
right.
than doing six things. So social media is about being there often.
Often.
You need to be involved.
Well, you know, that's that sounds perfect, but I still suck because I'm not doing the Twitter. I'm barely touching Facebook. Facebook has changed again. And when the Facebook changed their rules, which will go into effect at the end of this month, I said, now, see, that's why I didn't get on board with Facebook, because I knew something was going to happen. Of course I didn't, but I just sort of hid behind that. So my social media of choice is Blog Talk Radio. And I do that consistently. So that's
there
my
you
excuse.
Go. You're consistent. That's great.
So I will try my best. Gary's saying that's okay. He said he got on there, Pinterest, and found my teenage daughter already on there pinning. I guess if you want to know the next best thing, ask the kid. Isn't that the truth? You know, I've moved on in age now that because I figure I'm pretty tech savvy, but it's gotten to the point where I just hand over stuff to my daughter and she can figure it out in, you know, just like that. So I'm like, God, I've now evolved into the next generation now. I am officially not part. I'm no longer hip and with it. So, let's see. Michelle. Hi, Michelle. Is saying she's a new student at the Academy of Wedding and Event Planning.
Oh, she's one of my students.
In Melbourne,
hello,
Australia. Welcome. Hello,
that's
Michelle.
Lovely.
And everyone say hi to me. Oh, everyone's saying hi to Michelle. Isn't the family wonderful? So for those of you just joining us, welcome. My name is Debbie, and you're listening to Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show. And tonight I have the wonderful, beautiful Kylie Carlson, who is the director of Wedding and Event. The Wedding and Event Institute. So Kylie has a presence here in the U.S., which is new for the new U.S., not new to her organization. Her organization exists in Australia, in New Zealand, and in the United Kingdom. So we actually have somebody here who's joining us right now from Australia. What on earth is the time over there? It's morning time, no? It's got to be
10:35 in the morning. So
oh, okay.
It's in Melbourne.
On a Wednesday. Okay. All right, welcome.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Okay. It's my UK students that can't listen because it's 11:30 at night. So.
Well, we have a UK resident person, and I don't see him. Is Daniel here tonight? Gary, have you seen Gary? Usually we have Gary and Daniel, our two. If there are any other males here, I'm sorry. I'm not aware of the fact that you're here, so please don't be insulted. But and Daniel's not here. I'm not sure what happened. So, Gary's holding down the fort for the gentleman. Okay, so great. So Heather, I hope that helps you with your question about Pinterest. And is Pinterest like Facebook, where you actually have a URL like pinterest.com/something? Does that exist?
Yes. So yes. You can also, in the same way as you can get a little Facebook pin for your website, you can get I think it's follow me on Pinterest. I can't remember the exact terminology, but it's something like that. So that's a really good thing to do if you want to build your following on Pinterest.
That's what the P is. That's what the P is on the icons that I'm seeing. It's Pinterest. That's
yes.
What, Earth to Debbie come in. I saw it and I wasn't quite sure. So, I learned something new all the time. $5,000. Okay. Gary says the token male. He and Daniel, the token males. Yeah, you are. And we love you. Okay. I have another question. And let's see if we can tackle this one together, Kylie. This is from Vanessa.
Sure.
And here's Vanessa's question. She's starting a business in Australia. Look at that. As
yes,
a wedding.
Another one.
And yeah, an event planner. And she's finding it difficult to figure out what to charge. Ah, that's a frequent question.
Hmm.
I understand you can do percentage, flat fee, or hour rate styles, but still find it difficult. Would love to know more information on this. So.
Okay. Well, I guess my first thought is always it really depends on what market you're in, as in right. Which part of the wedding market are you aiming at? And that's probably the first thing you've got to figure out is where your unique selling point is. Are you, for example, going to focus on Greek weddings? Are you going to go for high-end weddings? You know, what area of weddings are you wanting to go to? Because I think until you've actually figured that part out, you can't work out what your pricing structure is going to be.
That's right.
What would you think? Would you agree with that, Debbie?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And, you know, shameless plug, on Wedding Business Guide, I didn't mean to do that, but no, seriously, on Wedding Business Guide, we did a webinar about pricing. And Kylie, you're right on target. It really depends on what area you're targeting and, yeah, on how you're setting up your business. Because, I mean, if you're doing day of planning versus someone coming in to talk to you for a few hours, the way you would price that is different. And also different areas and even down to different cultures expect different things. So, you know, I noticed a lot of very high-end, sometimes celebrity, but not always celebrity, but especially the celebrity wedding planners will charge a percentage of the budget, of the wedding budget. And I you know, I have my issues about that being completely ethical, but it's understood and accepted in those circles that that's the way it's going to be. So, you know, trying to do that someplace else, maybe where budgets are not as big and, you know, expendable, that may not be accepted. People will run away from that. But then again, if, you know, the average wedding in the area that you're working in is, you know, is much lower percentage, you're not going to make a whole lot of money. But for a wedding with a bigger budget, of course, you would. So it really depends. And, you know, if it's sort of trial and error. And what I found that a lot of people tend to do is they sort of see what other folks are doing and sort of try to come in at the middle or worse, try to beat that price. But when you start setting up your business based on pricing, I'm going to go out there and say it, but I think you're destined to fail. Because if pricing is the only thing that sets you apart, then someone will come along and beat that too. So I believe what
you've
we
really
do...
You've really got to define your service, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. And I mean, what we do is very personal. It's a personalized service. And a lot of your clients will want a flat amount because that's easier for them to understand. Knowing that it's going to cost $2,500 is perfect for the client. But for you, if you're dealing with me, the wonderful bride-to-be, versus, you know, the gal up the road who's just going to call your phone every 10 minutes, that's a very different experience. Or the bride that has the mother and the mother-in-law to deal with and the great aunt who's paying for the flowers and has decided that because she's paying, she's going to decide what happens and what the colors are going to be. That's a very different experience. And I think you need to be compensated for having to deal with that. And when you have flat fee pricing, you're sort of putting yourself into a corner where you don't leave much room for anything else. So it's tricky, but, you know, as Kylie says, it really depends. It really depends.
It also depends on your client to a degree as well. I think you've got to be quite flexible in your, not, obviously you can't rip one client off and not the other type scenario, but you do have to be mindful that if you are sitting down with the sort of bride that Debbie just described there, who is going to be incredibly demanding, then you may want to look at putting not necessarily extra in there, but allowing for those sort of emotional, demanding type of brides. So, you know, it's one reason why whenever I used to go out and see clients, I never, ever, ever gave them the fee when I was sat there with them. It
there
was always
you go.
Something I would go back, sit down, think about, put together a proper proposal for them, and then send it through. Because
that's
I
right.
didn't need time to sit back and think about how that bride was going to be when I worked with them. And in some cases, I was known to turn brides away and say, unfortunately, I do have a clash on that date. I won't be able to work with you.
There you
because
go.
There were a couple of brides I looked at and went, I cannot work with you in a month of Sundays. I'm going to have to work with you for over a year for this particular wedding, and I don't want to do it.
Right.
So, you know, you do have to be flexible within your pricing method. Yes, you need methodology, and you need to know that what you're doing is relevant to the area of weddings that you're working within, but you also have to have a degree of flexibility there as well, dependent upon the client.
Absolutely.
For some clients, they may not just accept a flat fee. They would rather be charged by the hour, for example, because you're only going to be doing the venue search for them.
Right.
You know, there's lots of different scenarios there, but I can't remember the name of the person who asked that question.
Oh, Vanessa.
If she wants to email me, well, if Vanessa wants to email me with what area of weddings, I'll happily email her back with some advice. But until I know that, I can't really comment sort of further as to what would probably be the best method for her.
Okay. Okay. So we'll get your email. What email do you want to, well, we'll reply to Vanessa. We'll give you your email.
Yeah, we can reply to Vanessa. That's fine. But yeah, I can't really say more than that until we know whereabouts and what area of wedding she's doing.
That's right. And pricing is a big issue, and not just in our industry, in any industry when you're setting up your business. I am of the belief that you should, in your head, know what your time is worth per hour. And knowing that will help when you figure out how much time it takes to do certain tasks. So if your rate is $100, in your mind, you're worth $100 an hour. You may not quote it to your client as such, but when you know to yourself, okay, this is going to take me at least 4 hours to do for this person. Okay, so 4 hours times 100, that's $400. So maybe 600. So that's sort of like a ballpark. And that's how I base a lot of what I do. But like Kylie says, when I meet a client for the first time, my whole goal is for them to get to know me and for me to get to know them. It's not about me trying to sell them on that. Well, not trying to sell one of my services. I want them to get in, like me, to be bought into Debbie, if you get what I mean. Because if there's no connection there, we can't move forward anyway. And I don't quote at that point. I sort of, in my mind, I'm thinking when they're telling me what it is that they're looking for and what they've done so far, I'm always thinking, there's one, what one service do I have that I offer that I, that what one service that I offer will work best for this couple. And when it gets to the point for me to talk, I will usually say something towards the effect of, based on what you've told me so far, well, I offer several services, but based on what you've told me so far, this level of planning is probably best suited to what's going on with you guys. And, my rates begin at XYZ. It's not saying this is how much it's going to cost you, but just to give you an idea. And then I go back to the drawing board and start thinking about some of the things that we've discussed. Again, you know, is this going to be a headache? Are there a whole bunch of chiefs involved? Am I working with subclients, meaning mom of the bride, mother-in-law, and things like that? And like Kylie says, I mean, she put it very nicely, but I'm charging more for headaches. And if my fee in my heart is $500, yeah, I'm going in there and saying it's going to be $1,200 in the hopes that they turn away. But if they decide to they call my bluff and say, yeah, that's fine, I have compensated myself for the extra headache. But I'll tell you what, though, there's nothing that can pay you for the headache. There's no amount of money for
not
your sanity.
You're exactly right.
So you in your heart, you're saying, I shouldn't do this, and you'll go against your gut, and it'll happen more than once. I'm here to tell you, more than once, and you'll go against your gut, and then it'll happen, and you'll say, crap, I knew I shouldn't have done this. But it'll be a great learning lesson.
It will come back to bite you on the bum, won't it?
Yeah, there you go. So pricing is a tricky one, but Vanessa, if you are listening, we will Kylie will get in contact with you to give you some specifics. So with this show, I try to be general and not so specific, not because I'm evading the response, but so that we can all benefit from the answer, because each situation is so different. But there are some basic principles that I think need to be in place no matter where you're located. And, you know, knowing what you need to make each month is important, too. So you can't just base what your fee is based on what the Gallup Street is charging versus the one over there and sort of coming in the middle. Because if it doesn't meet your standards and what you need to operate and survive, then all of that is just, you know, it's for the birds. It means nothing. It means absolutely nothing.
That's a really good point. You really have to also put in things like marketing costs, because generally speaking, as a wedding planner, you more often than not, you're working from home. So you have to include things like petrol to go to meetings, marketing costs, anything like that. There'll be a percentage that you will use of your marketing costs
right.
to put in. You know, it's all those things that need to be put in. Stationery, mobile phone,
yes.
All those ancillary costs come in and form part of your hourly rate, because if your hourly rate doesn't cover a percentage of all of those things, then actually you're not in profit.
That's right.
You're going to be making a loss, because that has to be accounted for as well as your time. Yes. And time is another factor that a lot of people don't take into consideration, and that's important too.
Yes, we do that a lot, and especially with design. If you actually have a product and not just your service as a designer, a lot of us will tend to just base it on materials that we've bought and sort of mark it up. That's part of it, but you still have to also charge for your time, and not just your time to set up the design, the actual, you know, implement the, I'm looking for the term, it's lost, but your time there, your time researching, your time prepping beforehand, all of those things play a part in your price. There may be different rates. I mean, what you charge for design on site and what you charge, you know, for research may be different in your mind as you're calculating, but you do have to take all that into consideration to come up with the final dollar amount. Okay, I have another question here. And guys, if you have something to share or have a comment, please do so. And if you haven't yet posted your Facebook fan page, please post it in the chat room. And even if you haven't, it's scrolled off the page, post it again so we can get some exposure for you. What was the other question that I wanted? Okay, this question is from Mary. Mary says, I'm trying to start my wedding business for brides who do not have a very large budget. The area I am from is mostly middle and lower class. I want to word my ads without hurting their feelings. I have things for rent as well as buying outright. Any suggestions? What do you think, Kyle?
Oh, gosh, yeah, it's a difficult one. I think if that's the niche market that you're going to go for, then you've got to be honest in what you do and not try and flower it up too much, because otherwise you're not going to end up getting your target market, because they're not going to understand what it is that you're offering. So without being rude, and you don't want to flower it up too much, because otherwise they're not going to understand your message. Your message needs to be fairly direct and clear when you're doing things like that. I don't know if you've ever heard of the website Broke-Ass Bride, but there's different people like that who literally, they've taken the fact that they're going to work with budget brides and they've really made a thing for it.
Yes.
So there's different ways of doing it. You don't have to be offensive in the way that you put your marketing together, but maybe be a little quirky about it. Make
right.
it fun. You know, really sell them on the fact that this is what you specialize in and I'm here to help you and we're going to have some fun with it as well.
Right.
So I would certainly not try and make it into something it isn't, if that makes sense. I don't know what your opinion is, Debbie,
no.
But that would be my sort of gut reaction.
You're right. I was going to say lipstick on a pig, but you're right, because it is what it is. And when we talk about specializing, weddings are not all about high end and, you know, destinations and things like that. There's room for everything. And if you are my first concern with budgeting in an area where people don't have maybe as large a budget is to be honest, because the hardest thing to do is to sell something to folks that folks don't want. So is there truly a need for wedding planners? Because I found in some areas they don't understand or don't feel that they need a wedding planner. And based on the time involved in planning a wedding, and there is a lot of time involved, that may not make the best financial sense as a planner. Now, Mary also says that she has items for rent and buying outright. That appeals to a lot of people who maybe don't need a full service or don't have the budget for a full service planner. Almost every bride that I've come across wants their wedding to look fabulous, whether it's an at home, whether it's a small scale affair. It's a once in a lifetime event, we hope. And it's very special and they want it to look that way. So I've always found in those situations that when you can sell something that's tangible, something that's visual, that's a lot easier to do. And if she has those items, I would say, you know, focus on that. I think that's a great angle. But she hasn't said that people don't want a planner, but I found in areas where brides are not spending a whole lot of money, if they're not spending a whole lot of money, they're not necessarily looking for a wedding planner. And I may be wrong there. But Kyle, you're absolutely right about saying what it is and just having fun with it. A site that I came across and ended up speaking to this woman years ago when I first started planning weddings was called Nifty Nuptials. And her whole thing was that she's an officiant and she can do perform weddings just about anywhere. But, and I think this is this Gary from Gary Hurley, maybe sharing his business model too, where there she's performing the ceremony, but she sort of built packages around that. And what this person was doing was that if you decided you wanted to get married and you didn't want to go down to City Hall or Justice of the Peace, she could, for a few hundred dollars, she could perform that ceremony for you wherever you wanted. And a lot of people, that's a nice alternative. So sort of somewhere in between. And she sort of just built it on that. And the mere fact that she did that was just so attention getting. She wasn't doing anything different for maybe the officiant down the road, but she was doing something different. It was the way she packaged it and the way she branded it. So she was probably, I know she was getting weddings on a regular basis when she and I spoke. So she had a full-time job, but every weekend she had at least two weddings. And it was the way that she marketed that service to people in her area that just didn't want a big wedding and really just didn't, for whatever reason, didn't want to spend that money on their wedding. So she was still targeting budget brides, but she didn't come out and say that. But from looking at her services, it was clear that was the market that she served. And very happy with what she did. And it didn't involve her being there, having to be there, you know, 50, 60 hours a week. She could get this done on the weekend. And then as the business grew, she got a friend or relative, I think, that was doing the photographs and would take a series of pictures and things like that. There was another guy in Florida doing something very similar, where he could just, you know, get a wedding planned in next to no time. So it's how you position it and how you market it. And with social media now, you can just sort of just do, you can do so many things with little cost, but there is an investment in time. But just being clear about what your message is, and if that's the market you serve, stick to that. Be proud of your specialty, be proud of your niche, because a lot of us have a tendency to say, I do this, and then at the end of the sentence, we sort of trail off with, but I can also do da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, you stay.
It's very easy to fall into that trap, isn't yeah. it? But, I mean, just listening to you talk there, I mean, straight away, one of the things I immediately thought of was, if you do have things for rent or hire, then why not look at the way you design or plan from a different point of view and put together ebooks of how you can use those items.
Wonderful.
In your wedding.
Wonderful.
So, you know, there's a different way of doing it. No, it's not planning weddings exactly, but it's showing people how they can use your items within their own wedding to make their wedding special.
Excellent.
Because you're still using your knowledge, but therein lies your point of difference from somebody else who might be doing the same thing down the road, is that you have this ebook full of wonderful ideas that goes along with these particular products that shows you how to do it yourself.
Perfect.
And that, to me, would appeal to a more budget-conscious bride.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Excellent point, Kylie. So it's almost, and in one fell swoop, you've positioned yourself as an expert, because as soon as you publish something electronic or you know,
right.
physical, you are now, you're the expert within that field. And, you know, it stands to reason when someone reads through that, most people don't have the props, but hey, you've got them and they're local.
Yep.
So, you know, you show me how to do it, but I'll need this, this, and this. Oh, she has the this, this, and this. So that's a great, great example. So, Mary, I hope that helps. So, you know, claim it, own it. There's nothing, I see what you mean, though, about not wanting to offend anyone in your advertising. But I think stressing on the renting of the items, because most people want those things, but nobody wants to pay for those things outright. And if you have them, you can maybe offer it two ways. Maybe you offer it as a service, you know, as you know, you'll design and do all the setup, but maybe there are a few people that want to do it themselves. And if you're willing to rent those items out, then sure, focus on that. Just make sure you have a hefty deposit to cover any damages. Your deposit should be at least three times the value of the item. So if something costs you $100, the deposit should be $300 to rent that out. I mean, they'll get it back once you receive it the way that you gave it to them, but just make sure you cover yourself in those instances.
Yeah, very good point there.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Mary. Thank you so much for that question. Let's see. What time is it? Okay. We've got a few more minutes still. And Kylie, who's joining us from Wedding and Event Institute, for those of you just joining us, actually has a few things going on at home. So I'm very grateful for you being here. So I don't want to have you here.
Oh, you're welcome.
Too long. So we've got a caller who seems to have a question. So I'm going to bring whoever has the area code 843 and then the first digit after the area code 5. I'm going to bring you live on the air with your question. And as I go to do that, please, if you have a Facebook fan page and you have not yet posted it, in the chat room, please do that. And also, if you would like to be on the text alert where I will just send you a text when the show's about to go live, just text the word confetti, C-O-N, like November, F like Frank, E-T-T-I. It's a shame if you couldn't spell confetti after all of these shows, but just in case, confetti to the number 72727. If you're in the U.S., you'll get a text when the show's about to go live. All right, let's bring this person on the line, see who we've got here. Hello there. This is Debbie and Kylie. Who's this? Hello? Anyone there? 8435? Maybe not. Okay.
Never mind.
Yes. I think sometimes, people inadvertently hit the one where they didn't mean to, so we'll go with that. What is the website for the Academy? Very good question, Gary. It's Wedding and Event Institute. Yes, Kylie?
Correct. Okay. WeddingandEventInstitute.com.
WeddingandEventInstitute.com. Kylie, can we get an idea of pricing? Are you able to share that with us for your courses?
Yes, I am. I'm just trying to think. Bear with me because I have to think about four different pricing structures. But they're not expensive. There's different ranges. They range from, here we go, $600 through to $1,500, $1,100, dependent upon the course that you're taking.
Okay.
And we also offer payment plans as well. So there's 10-month payment plans, 4-month payment plans, and obviously there's a discount for paying in full as well. So we are quite flexible. We understand what it's like at the moment. So if we don't have something that appeals to you, always contact us and we'll see what we can do to help.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. So again, for those of you just joining us, Wedding and Event Institute, this is an online, I was going to say online virtual, but I don't need to say both of those words, do I? So, maybe. It's a virtual
course.
I can. Thank you, Kylie. For wedding planners, stylists, and designers. So if you need help, you want to get certification, Kylie is not new to this business. Her organization has been in place in Australia, in New Zealand, and in the UK. The launch in the United States is new, but the program is tailored to what goes on here in the US. So any links and any resources with regard to the course you're taking are based here in the US. So please check that out. It's good, I'm just so happy to see so many different resources that are available now for us, because for many years, as many of us know, you just couldn't get the information you needed.
No.
And the information you could get was just so like, well, hey, I could have figured that out if I'd read a bridal magazine or a bridal book. So
yeah, I think it's definitely, you've got to, like you said earlier on, there's a lot that you can source just by doing Google searches.
Yeah.
But what it doesn't tell you is how to deal with things when they go wrong. It tells you all the things to do when they're going right, but what happens when disaster strikes? How do you write a proposal? All those types of things are things that are covered, not just in my course, but I'm sure other people cover them in their courses too. So it's more that side of things that really is helpful. And having somebody there to show you how to implement the knowledge. It's like anything. You can have as much knowledge as you want, but if you can't actually implement it in a real-life situation, then it's really not that much help in the first place. So having somebody to mentor you along and guide you through to a point where you feel comfortable, it's almost like having a driving instructor.
Yes.
And I'm sure as many of you remember when you first started to drive, it was actually quite scary once you passed the test and you'd turn to your driving instructor and suddenly he wasn't there anymore. Well, it's like that when you study online. You have your instructor there with you the whole way through, but rather than waving goodbye to you once you graduate, our instructors are still there working with our students a lot of the time for about 6 months after the course and longer if needs be. So, that's a very helpful part of pretty much, I think, most online side of things. That's what they will offer.
Yes. Very good point. And as you can tell, Kylie is very personable. That's very important when you're new, because you want to feel comfortable asking questions. I've spoken to a few people who have taken courses where they have questioned some of the content, and not necessarily in an obnoxious way, but sometimes when your product is so close to you and someone questions or has, challenges you, depending on who you're speaking to, that person may not react in the most positive light, and that's really not the way things should be. And I mean, I know I have been online for a few years now, and it takes, you begin to realize that, you know, you what was very obvious to you may not be to someone. And when someone asks you a question, your reaction might be, well, yeah, of course, don't you know that? But you don't want to be part of an organization where someone is giving you that sort of condescending response or saying things like, I think I told you this, that, you know what I mean? That kind of stuff. I mean, if you're asking the same question over and over and over again and not taking action, well, that's just downright annoying. But you want to be comfortable. And, you know, to add insult to injury, when you're paying for something and then it's like this person is acting like they don't want to give you the answers that you need, not good. So rest
assured. That's a really good point. Because I know a lot of people in the industry, you forget what it's like to be in at the grassroots level, and you do assume a lot of things. And I know in my very first version of our course, I assumed too much. Yes. I thought people knew more than what they did. And to be fair, it was actually through feedback from our students that we got down to basics a little bit quicker at the beginning of the course and really hammered out some of those really basic things that you need to know as either an event planner or a wedding planner or a designer or a stylist. And we actually went into those in more detail, but we wouldn't have done that if it hadn't have been from feedback from our students.
That's right.
So, as you know, industry people, we do tend to assume that people know more than what they do. So
yes,
that's a really good point. You need to make sure that people are hearing you. You know, just because you're coming into an industry at the beginning, we were there once too.
Yes,
we all
that's
were.
Right. That's right.
There's nothing wrong with that. And asking questions is a good thing, not a bad thing. It's the only way that you learn, and it's the only way you learn how to incorporate and implement the information that you've been given.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. And I still do that, even with Wedding Business Guide. No, it's not a shameless plug. It's the truth. But even with wedding, I'll think of something. I'm like, well, no, people already know that. That's silly, Debbie. Why would you share that? And then, you know, someone will ask a question, and I'll say to myself, darn, I was going to write about this, but I just figured everybody knew already. So, you know, sometimes we sort of need that information to humble us and to just take a step back and realize. And plus, I think, too, because everything is online now, whereas before it wasn't so easy to get that information, I assume that everybody can get that information. And if you do try hard enough, you can get a lot of information online, but time is money, and if you're ready to get your business going and it's taking you a whole month to get the answer to one thing that you just can't figure out, maybe you just need to take a course. And if that course can answer that for you, I mean, isn't that just worth its weight in gold? And when you're sitting with a client, you want to feel comfortable that you at least have some place to go to get the answer you need, even if you don't have it right off, that you can go someplace, speak to someone, speak to your mentor, speak to your instructor and say, hey, this is what I've come across. What should I do? Any suggestions? What did you do when you were in this situation? So I think that's priceless and very, very important. So,
definitely.
Yeah. So please check out Kylie's website here in the U.S. It's weddingandeventinstitute.com. Kylie, if someone goes to that website, will they get information about your courses on the other continents? Because I know we have a global audience for folks who are
listening. All you need to do, if you go to that particular website, up on the right-hand side at the very top of the site, it says international sites, and there's a little drop-down arrow. And if you drop down on that, you can choose to either go to the UK site, the Australian site, or the New Zealand site.
Perfect.
Unfortunately, we're not anywhere else yet, and we're not planning to be for a while, but those are the sites that we currently cover.
So if somebody is someplace else, would you recommend that they not take one of the courses if they're not in one of those places?
No, we would want to know whereabouts they were looking on planning on working, because quite often what we've already got would work, but dependent upon where they're planning on starting their business depends on which course we would recommend for them.
Okay.
Because obviously there's different rules and regulations in different countries, you know. And you mentioned earlier about an officiant being able to marry people anywhere. Well, you can't do that in the UK. There's very strict rules and regulations about where you can and can't marry.
That's
so
right.
Things like that, information like that, we need to make sure we get right for people. So,
very
no,
important.
They can. We do. We have students in Belgium, Spain, all over the place. A couple in France. But we make sure that we give them a course that's relevant to where they're going to be working, and we quite often are able to slip different things in there that are relevant to their country. So
okay, wonderful.
We can usually help.
Okay, good. So, because, you know, I just realized how selfish I was sounding. So not everyone's in the UK, in the US, or in New Zealand or Australia. So there are even if you're not in one of those places that I just mentioned, please still go on the site and check out the link that Kylie's mentioned, going to the top right, and then get in contact with them, and they can tailor, not necessarily tailor, but guide you in the right direction for what would be best suited based on where you are located. So that's wonderful, because a lot of certification courses is just sort of cookie cutter based on wherever that person happens to be. So I think it's very intuitive that you have spread your wings, so to speak. So that's a big, big help.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. Well, I was going to say thank you. Are there any other questions before we wrap it up? Because we've just gone over the hour. I did set aside some extra time, as I like to do when we have a wonderful guest host like Kylie. Any questions? Last call for questions. Any comments? I see you guys are posting your Facebook fan pages. Facebook fan page URLs. Keep doing that. It's your last chance to do that. And please, if you haven't clicked on someone's link, do that and make connections. You never know where that connection is going to take you. You know what I mean? Maybe that person has, not, it's not just, a, and never think it's just about what can you get. It's always think about, if you are constantly thinking about what you can give and what you can share with your fellow wedding pros, trust me, it's going to come back to you. It will come back to you. So don't be afraid to, you know, not share, you know, what you're doing. And because, or even if that someone, the other person is in your state or just up the street, there is more than enough work in this industry for all of us. And the planet that I may be attracted to may not be the planet you're attracted to. So that means their clients, you know, Susie Bride may not want to work with me, as if, but she may want to work with you. So you want to make connections, and don't view someone who is doing the exact, well, not exactly, who's doing this in the same industry that you are as competition. And if you do specialize, you know, I've got to get it in there. That's going to lower it for you, because if you have a specialty, it's going to be easier for someone to send business to you because you're very focused. You know what I mean? So don't be afraid to share with people who are in your area. I know there's safety if you're here in the U.S. or you're here in the D.C. area, and maybe you're connecting with someone who's on the other side of the country. Do the same thing for someone who's in your area too. You know, you can share business if the day comes that you're unable to fulfill what you have your contract to do for your client. Maybe this person can fill in for you or help you. Or if your event assistant just doesn't show up, it's happened. Ask me how I know that. Maybe this is the person that you call on to come in and just sort of help you out. As another business owner, that person's probably going to jump to do that without making a big deal about fees and all the rest of that. You'll deal with that because you're both professionals. So don't be afraid to share what you do with people who are also doing something similar. There's more than enough work. Even as popular as wedding planning is now, there's more than enough work out there for all of us. Okay? All right, Kylie, any closing words? What would you like for all of us to hear as the last few sentences from you? Tell us.
You can never stop learning. Literally, you should never think that you know everything, because you never know everything in this particular industry. Make sure that you take time. You know, we've been talking quite a lot about the fact that you can get a lot of information online. I make sure that I start off every single week looking through my top 10 blogs that I enjoy reading that actually give me something that I can learn from. So one of the challenges I'd set for you all to do is earmark yourself 10 blogs. They don't necessarily have to be about wedding and event planning. They can be about business. They can be about social media. They can be about anything, but they need to inspire you. It might be that they're about design. It could be anything. But find yourself some blogs, set yourself aside some time, because you will learn a lot from a lot of the articles that are out there and available to you. And if you can't get to some of the big trade shows, for example, I've just come back from Ideas Factory in Las Vegas, put on by Event Solutions. If you can't get to those things, you can still read the articles that people write coming out of those types of events. So don't stop learning, but make sure that you're out there actively reading and researching all the time. And that's probably the best piece of advice I can give you, because I certainly never stop learning. So,
an excellent advice that is. Thank you so much, Kylie. So very words to live by there. So 10 blogs, 10 of your favorite blogs. and to make.
And I'd love to know what they are. You know, if you want me to give you some of the blogs I read, I'm more than happy to share them with you. And in the same vein, share the blogs that you enjoy reading that inspire you with your colleagues, your peers, and as Debbie said, other people in the industry. You know, we can all learn from each other. So please feel free to post anything you want on our Facebook page. We always chat to people on there, and we'd love to know what inspires you.
Okay, wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Kylie. Great advice. So I want to thank everybody for listening. Please remember to follow the show on blogtalkradio.com. Take a look at weddingsforliving.com and the weddingbusinessguide.com for help with starting and growing a wedding planning business of your own. There is a site on its way up just for the confetti show because it needs its own space now. So please post your comments on the Blog Talk Radio show page. And Kylie's website, again, is weddingandeventinstitute.com. And I can see Heather has posted your Facebook fan page URL. So it's facebook.com.
Oh, thank you very much, Heather.
/weddingandeventinstitute. So that's helpful. Very, very good. Thank you, Heather. And our next live show airs on Tuesday, April 3rd at 7 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time. So please, please join me then. Okay. Again, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be a part of Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show. Go out there, make lots of money. As always, love and success. Thank you, Kylie. Everyone, take care. Mm-hmm.